Well, good morning to all of you, and I have a bunch of announcements to make this morning. There are some really good ones. So the first ones are in your bulletin in the form of an insert, and this is really an important insert, and the information that's on the insert is also typed in your bulletin. So you go, well, why do we have a double whammy? Because this is a giveaway. This is a giveaway, meaning it's in your bulletin to pass on to somebody else. You will be able to give this to a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, and there are two events that are advertised. The first one is next Sunday morning. I am so looking forward to next Sunday. The Garms family, singers, are going to be with us for our Sunday morning service, and they will be doing the whole time together next Sunday. They are a great musical family. They have been here in the past many years ago. They come every summer to Hinckley to a summer music event there, and actually have quite a following there. You can go online and look at YouTube and kind of dial them up, and you can get an idea of their style. But they have many different styles of music, and it's a whole family, and they play a lot of instruments, and it is going to be a lively and fun Sunday morning of worship. And so it's a great time to invite somebody that loves music, or maybe someone that you say, you know, I don't know how well they do with Kendall's preaching, but this is a good time to invite somebody because they don't have to listen to a sermon next Sunday, okay? And it's going to be good. So give this to someone that you want to invite to next Sunday morning service. And we'd love to just be packed out next week, kind of like Easter Sunday, you know? And then if you flip it over, the ladies' brunch is advertised there, and that's coming up very quickly as well. So women, it's important to get your ticket, your reservations, and let that leadership team know that you're coming alongside, and that's going to be good. Okay, next announcement is that last Sunday morning, we took an offering for the Ukraine. And if you look in the bulletin, an unbelievable, first of all, if you were here, you experienced it. If you weren't here, I want to invite you to go on Facebook and watch the service from last Sunday, because when you watch that offering being given, people were coming forward, and there was an energy about being able to do the right thing. And it was a great offering. If you notice in the bulletin, it was an $8,500 offering, which is absolutely incredible. Now, having said that, $8,500 was a great offering, but some of you didn't get to participate. And even yesterday, there was another gift added to it, and I know there's another gift that's going to be added to it today. And we want to open up the opportunity once again to give. And so if you weren't here last Sunday, you've been watching the news and you're saying, what can I do in Jesus' name about the Ukraine? What can I do to help those people? How can I actually, beyond praying, which is the most important thing, what else can I do? Well, this morning you can give. And after the service, there's going to be a couple of guys standing at the back with baskets. And if you haven't given to that, and you'd like to give to that, that would really, really be good. I want to tell you something. I have a sense that offering, when we send the check out, will be a $10,000 check. I really believe we're going to hit $10,000. And so if you gave last week and you said, you know, I should have given more, you can give more today. Now, what is the offering for? It's for field hospitals in the Ukraine, and the mechanism is going to be Samaritan's Purse. And Samaritan's Purse is on the ground. They've already set up some field hospitals, and this is direct help in Jesus' name. So today, I really believe next Sunday we're going to celebrate that $10,000 was sent for field hospitals out of this church, in this town, in this part of Minnesota. I think we can do it. I think God has called us to do it. So please, let's make that happen. And then, this morning, we're going to be thinking about what happens after the resurrection. And I'm excited about the music we're singing and what we're going to be doing, and that we can share this with each other. And that brings me to my last announcements today. And these are exciting announcements, but kind of overwhelming in a way. These announcements that I share with you this morning come by way of, we did not solicit any of what I'm going to be telling you is going to be happening. But a week ago, 2 weeks ago or so, and even longer, I guess, in a couple of situations, we were approached by two different entities about the expansion of our ministries here at our church. And one of them was North Country Radio, which is the host of WMOZ. They own WKLK and Cloquet, both the AM and FM stations, and WMOZ. And we met with them this week, and based on requests that they've received, beginning next Sunday, our Sunday morning radio program is going to be put on live stream internet on North Country Radio's website, which means that will be available, that radio program now will be available worldwide for our snowbirds, as well as cabin people that leave at the end of the summer, as well as anyone else. So if you'd like to be listening and you say, well, I don't get WMOZ on my radio, you can go online to North Country Radio and you'll be able to listen to that Sunday morning program that we do that is totally different than our Sunday morning service. The music is different. The message is different. It's different than what you hear here. The second thing that I want to announce to you is that we were approached by Rory, who is the director of the television stations, the public television stations in Moose Lake. And beginning this week, maybe a month or 2 months ago, he was online and found our Holy Fika, our Wednesday morning time that we have together. And beginning this last week, Holy Fika is now being broadcast in Moose Lake over their community television stations. And so for those of you that have community television, either on cable or by other forms, you are able to listen now to Holy Fika on those stations, Channel 7 and I think Channel 18. And I believe he's run last week's Holy Fika something like 7 or 8 times already. And he will run it multiple times from Wednesday to Wednesday. The other piece is that beginning in May, our Sunday morning service that you're in right now will be broadcast every Sunday evening, not Sunday morning, but in its entirety, our service will be on at 7:30 on Sunday evenings, so that if you're gone for the weekend or whatever, you'll be able to catch up and watch today's service on Channel 7 and Channel 18 at 7:30 in the evening on Sundays. So these are some really expanding the ministry here, and pray that God would have people turning on and tuning in that will hear something that will turn their hearts to the Lord. So that's the announcements for this morning. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. We come from many places with different stories to tell. We come weighed down with unique bundles of burdens. We come ready to hear your word proclaimed anew.
Whoa. Hymn with Many Crowns is page 45 in the hymnal, if you like hymnals. And we're going to sing all 4 verses.
Thank you.
seated. Page 370, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Jesus shall reign. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2.
Jesus, I'll be is even me. The way that he loves is as deep as the sea. His spirit shall be my stay. The way that he loves is as pure as a rose, much sweeter he grows each day. His peace hovers near like a dove. I know there's a heaven above. To Jesus I'll cling. Life's a wonderful thing because of the way he loves.
So as we've listened and as we've sung this morning, the theme has been very carefully crafted to remind us who the king of our world is and who's in control. Because oftentimes when we listen to news and when we talk to each other, we feel as though everything is out of control, as though there's nothing we can do. And where do we go? Well, when we come to prayer, it is the reminder today in the songs that we've sung already that he is king. He is Lord of lords. He was crowned King of Kings after the resurrection that we celebrated last week. And so when we come to prayer, we come with confidence and we come with a hope that is eternal. And so I invite you to join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you today that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you are the one, Father, that is in control of all things, that by your very word, the cosmos is held together. Your word declares that to us. It teaches us that. And so we come as people this morning that long to talk to you about things that feel out of control in our lives. We've already this morning, Father, brought to you very specific requests of individuals and families and situations. And now, Father, we bring the larger issues of our lives, national issues and international issues, community issues, those things that impact our lives in a big sort of way. And so this morning, Lord, we pray for the situation in the Ukraine. We pray, Father, for all those families that have been separated, have been pushed apart, Father, have been divided by war. We pray for those families, Father, where grandpas and grandmas that were not able to travel have been left behind, homeless, and some without food, without clothing, except what's on their backs. People that have spent their lives raising families and providing. Lord, we ask in these days that you would provide for them. Father, we lift up all of those elderly that are imprisoned by war in the Ukraine, that were not able to escape, that were not able to take refuge in another country, that today simply look at the devastation and the destruction and long to see their children and grandchildren. Father, would you hold them in the palm of your hand? For those, Father, that have been injured and are sick, we pray for medical help. We pray for your healing touch upon them. We pray for these field hospitals and for those that provide medical care. that they would be safe and that they would have supplies. We pray, Father, for young families that grieve as they know of mass graves filled with the bodies of children and women. Father, we lift up that situation to you. And we would ask that in some way, somehow, in your power and in your way and in, Father, your compassion, that you would meet the needs. And that, Father, you would bring peace to that part of the world. That you would strengthen those that serve, that are now your hands, your voice, your encouragement in those places. Father, we pray for other situations around the world. We pray for Afghanis, and particularly Afghani Christians, who are being put to death. Father, and all around the world, we see that kind of persecution, hidden often from the cameras and the reporting. But brothers and sisters in Christ of ours, and we lift them up to you. Father, we pray for needs in our own state and in our communities. We pray for our school boards and for our school administrators and our teachers and our students. Father, that our schools would be safe places, places of hope, places of peace. And then, Father, this morning we pray for our governor, Governor Waltz, and we pray for our president, President Biden, that, Father, you would give to them discernment and wisdom. You would give to them eyes to see what is true and ears to hear what is true. Surround them with persons that will advise them wisely and give them, Father, courage to govern in the ways that would follow your tenets, your desires, your truth, and your wisdom. So we lift them up to you. And we thank you this morning, Father, that in this hour, that we can meet in this place safe with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can sing loudly, and we can pray openly, and we can talk about your word and your work. We thank you for that privilege. We thank you for the time that we live in this place. And we thank you for the strength to be here today. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we are going to do a continuation. I love Easter, you know that. I love Holy Week. And we had such a wonderful Holy Week this year. It was a great time together. And it was charged with energy last Sunday. I will never forget what I saw in this place and felt and listened to. And many of you that were here, you experienced that. But I have to tell you that when I read the scriptures, I get really excited as I follow after the resurrection what happens. The continuation, so to speak, of that empty tomb. The continuation. And today, we are going to look at one of the pieces of the continuation of last week. And we find it in John chapter 21. And I'd like to read to you from that chapter, beginning at verse 1. After these things, that means after the resurrection, after that last week in Jerusalem, after crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, after these things, Jesus showed himself. He manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee, that is still there today. And he manifested himself in this way. They were together, Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We'll come with you, Simon." And they went out, and they got in the boat. And that night, they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" And they said, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will catch fish." And they cast, therefore, and then they were not able to haul it all in because of the great number of fish they had caught. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, and said to Peter, "It is the Lord. It is the Lord on the shore." And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped down for work, and he threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. And so when they got out upon the land, they saw a charcoal fire had already been laid, and there were fish placed on it, and there was bread there. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." Simon Peter went up, and he drew the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread, and he gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And then he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon was grieved now, because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. And when you grew old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now, this he said, signifying what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to Peter, "Follow me. Follow me." Let's sing a couple more songs.
Before we sing the songs, I sit up here and I watch people with their Bibles or the Pew Bibles following along. It looks really good. We're going to sing something kind of interesting here. We're going to sing, if you look in your bulletin, we're going to sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, verses 1 and 2, page 43. And then two songs down, we're singing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, page 16, verses 3 and 4. It's the same song with different tune. So you may want to grab your hymnal and have two things open, page 43 and 16. Otherwise, when we get to the second song, you're going to be singing a tune. You'll be singing the right words, but you'll be singing the wrong tune. So the first one is the very traditional All Hail the Power. It's kind of like a march. And then we'll sing something in the middle, All Hail King Jesus, which is a chorus. And then we'll go to the verses 3 and 4 of All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. So here we go. Let's go. Verses 1 and 2. Sing all hail King Jesus. We're going to sing this two times. Turn to page 16, just like I mentioned before, and this is the time for children, if we have children, to go to children's church. And on page 16, we're going to sing verses 3 and 4. Now, this is a little trickier tune. Just remember that. Be prepared.
Thank you.
we go. Verses 4.
Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet before, we at his feet we fall, we'll join the everlasting song and find him again.
All right, well, we're going to follow up on the resurrection. And this morning, as we think about the continuation, it's really, I think it's something that applies to all of us. Because the question I want to ask you, I think most of us would answer in the affirmative, and it's this. Have you ever felt that you've failed in following Jesus? Have you ever felt that in your walk with him as being a disciple of Christ, a Christ follower, that you fell short? That somehow you failed Jesus? That you didn't keep the promise that you had made to him? You didn't follow through the way you told him that you would follow through? The intention that you had in following Jesus didn't happen. It didn't happen. I think we've all been there. You know, I think all of us this morning have made promises to God that we haven't kept. I think all of us have told him that there's a certain way we were going to behave, but we fell back. We fell back. We maybe fell on our face. And sometimes when that happens, as I've watched people that are Christ followers, sometimes when that happens, in our shame, the shame that we feel inside, we turn away. We turn away. We say, Lord, I can't even look you in the face anymore. I'm so embarrassed by what I did. I've had those days. I've had those days in my life when my intentions didn't work out, where what I told God I was going to do, I didn't do. And what I said I wouldn't do, I did. I've had those days. And usually when that happens, I feel ashamed inside. I feel ashamed. And it's just like our dogs do when they're shamed. We crawl into a corner. We crawl into a corner. And we crawl away from God. And we crawl away from God's people. We become sporadic. We quit serving. We say, well, I can't serve because I failed God. I did this. So that, no, don't ask me to serve. I'm not worthy. The person that you're saying no to, you never say why because you're ashamed. But you just start saying no. No, I can't do that. Or you stop attending worship. You stop attending Bible studies because you're ashamed. Because you've failed. Do you know that in the period of time between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, he addressed that issue? He addressed it. Jesus addressed it. Why? Because he knew what we were made of. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. Every one of us in this room. So friend, let's just get that out this morning. Let's just get that out on the table and acknowledge it. If it wouldn't be so hard for some of you, I'd have you turn to the person next to you and say, boy, I'm an ugly sinner. But I'm not going to ask you to do that today. I'm not going to ask you, because some of you would lie, you know. So, but when we look at this text that we've read this morning, it's about Peter. Peter was a failure. At this juncture, Peter was a failure. Peter had said to Jesus, I will never, ever deny you. Not me. Bank on me. Bank on me. Now, I know, Jesus, that there have been times in the last 3 years that I've done some pretty cloudy kind of things. I know that, Jesus, but I've learned. I've listened. I know, Jesus, that you've corrected me a number of times in the last 36 months. I know that you've corrected me, and I know that you've taught me, but you know what? I've learned. I won't deny you. I will not deny you. No, not me. Not me. And then during Holy Week, we read of what happens to Peter. How he denies Jesus three times. Three times. I've often wondered when Peter first encountered and heard that Jesus was risen, if he went, oh no. Or if he went, oh yeah. I get a feeling inside of Peter, he was elated that the resurrection had happened because everything Jesus had said was true. I think he was just elated, but I think inside he's going, oh boy, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him. And you know what I'm guessing this morning? I'm guessing some of you, if you knew Jesus was going to be at coffee this morning, you'd go, I don't know if I want to see him. I really want to see him, but I don't know if I want to see him. I really want to go up and say, hi, Jesus. Thank you for rising from the dead. Thank you for saving me. You'd like to do that. But you're afraid somehow when he looked you in the eye, there would be a contact. There would be a contact. And he would know everything. He would know your denials. Peter was a failure. So here we have an account in John of a really powerful, powerful event. I have to tell you this morning that it was, what was it, in February, I stood at the location of this story. It's one of my favorite spots on the Sea of Galilee. And if I really would have been on top of it today, I took a bunch of photographs there this time. Took a bunch of photographs. In fact, for those of you that follow Holy Fika, when I was gone, do you remember the black congregation singing in the little chapel, and we joined in singing with them? That chapel is built on the shoreline of the restoration of Peter. That's where I was when I was on the phone saying, hey, listen to this, everybody. And I was scanning it, and you could see all these African Americans that you thought were from some other place in the world. They were actually from New York City. And we started singing with them. And it was this great thing. Go back on Facebook and you'll see it. But that shoreline where I picked a pocket full of rocks this time to bring home. And they're sitting in our house right on a table. Those rocks came from that beach. This is actually a place. So the disciples who are named by John here, and John, of course, never names himself. He says the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he didn't say that with arrogance, but he doesn't name himself, but he was there, the writer of the Gospel of John. And he tells us what happened. You see, Jesus has disappeared from their midst. You know, Jesus, in that period of time from the resurrection to the ascension, Jesus had a way of disappearing and appearing. kind of a strange thing. He would disappear and appear. Well, he had disappeared from the disciples. So the disciples go to the Sea of Galilee. This is where Jesus said, I'll meet you up there. I'll meet you at the sea. They had been in Jerusalem. And he says, I'll meet you by the Sea of Galilee. Did you know that you can walk a trail right now from between those two locations? It's one of my goals to do before I die, is to walk that trail. It's just a cow trail, actually. There's no tourist stuff along it, but it's the main pathway from Jerusalem down to the Sea of Galilee. And that's where the disciples were. They got down there. Jesus wasn't there. What do? They do what they know to do. They get in a boat, and they go out to fish. Simon, the failed disciple, gets in the boat and begins to fish again. You know, the question becomes this morning, what is it that causes us to fail in our walk with Jesus? Let's take a quick look at Peter's failure today. I want you to think about it with me, because I think the cause of Peter's failure is the same cause of our failure. When I was growing up, there was a word that was used in the church that we kind of grew out of. It's a word that we don't like, but it's a word that 30, 40, 50 years ago, you would hear Christians using this word, but I don't hear it anymore. Maybe it's because we're afraid of the word because of what it is. But the word is carnality. Do you remember that word? You church people out there. You remember the word carnal? We would talk about people that were Christians, and we would say they were spiritual or they're carnal. They're carnal. It was actually kind of a judgment thing. It was kind of a weird thing. But what it spoke about is a person's spiritual life, whether they were on fire for God, alive in Jesus, or whether they were kind of drifting out there, maybe even backslidden. They had left what they had said they were going to do. You know, they were carnal. Well, Peter here is a person who is experiencing carnality. Now, it's a word that we've lost, but it's a word that we shouldn't lose its meaning. You see, carnality is simply being more concerned with the things of the flesh than the things of the spirit. Carnality is putting fleshy things before spiritual things, worldly things before godly things, the kingdom of man before the kingdom of God. When you have a priority that puts the world and fleshy things, the temporal things, before the godly eternal things, you're living carnal. Okay? Pretty simple definition. It's really a definition of the priorities of one's life. The person that we're studying this morning, Peter, who denied the Lord three times and said he would never forsake the Lord, has now fallen into kind of a carnal state of mind. And you know, it makes sense that he would. Because Jesus is gone, he's got to go back to the things of the world. He's going, well, boy, that 3 years was a waste. Jesus is gone. Where did he go? I don't know if he's ever coming back. I'll go back to what I know. I'll go back to the concerns I had before I met him. I'll go back to the worldly things because Jesus isn't here. And this is what happens in our lives. When we forget about the resurrection, when we no longer experience the presence and the power of God in our lives, we become carnal. We shift back into a worldly mindset. When God loses his power in our lives, when we walk away from the power of God in our lives, then we have to find the power in another place to live, and we go back to the world, and we live in carnality. You see, carnality. Peter had fallen into that. He was concerned about the politics against him when he asked about confessing Christ. He had slipped. He had slipped. Let me give you some words that are affiliated with the word that we don't use anymore. I know. I probably, some of you are going, holy smokes, he sounds like a 1950s preacher right now. I know, you're probably thinking that. But forget the word, then. Let me tell you what brings us to the place of putting things that are temporal before things that are eternal. Oftentimes, it's our preoccupation. We become preoccupied with the sights and the sounds and the speeches and sports and scandals and the latest scoop. We can be preoccupied. We watch and read too much news, too many gossip tabloids. We watch too much of TV. We become preoccupied with the stuff that is temporal. Preoccupation with those things move us away from thoughts of the resurrection and the risen Christ. Sometimes pride is the doorway of becoming carnal. Sometimes possessions lead us to that. We become very, very busy with our stuff. It's easy to do. We buy stuff, and when we buy stuff, we have to use our stuff. And using our stuff means using up our time. And so our stuff can move us and shift us from things that are spiritual to the things that are temporal. Because after all, if you've invested that much in it, you better use it. If you've got a $50,000 boat, you better be out on it. If you've got a $30,000 four-wheeler side with it, you better be out on it. If you've got a camper that you spent $50,000, you better be out using it. You see what happens? I mean, it's a practical thing, really. It's not that you're bad. It's not that you're a bad person that leads you to being a carnal person. It's sometimes the possessions you have, because possessions will begin the process of possessing you. You possess them when you buy them, but they will begin their process of possessing you. And a possession is temporal, which shifts you from eternal. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, are you following me this morning? I mean, are you getting this? See, Peter, it was preoccupation. It was possessions. It was power. Sometimes it's pleasure. Friends, sometimes it's politics. It's politics. Position. People-pleasing. Privilege. All of these things can cause a shift. And when that happens, it causes failure spiritually. We fail in our walk with Jesus when these kind of things happen, when they become center stage. And it's no wonder we're not close to God anymore then. It's no wonder that the burning love that we felt is gone. It doesn't take long. I mean, I can go to a conference and get all fired up. And I come home and I'm going to be the best pastor in the world. Man, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to be the best preacher in the world. I'm going to be the best. And I'm at that conference and boy, I hit that airplane and I could have flown home with my own wings. And I get home and I spend 5 days with all of you and in the world. And pretty soon I'm waddling like a duck and not flying anymore. It happens. You feel that way in church. You come here this morning, you came last Sunday, and you go, wow, oh, I'm all fired up now. I'm all fired up. What an Easter Sunday. And then you go home, and your taxes were due, and bills were due, and you had a doctor's appointment along the way, and you had a funeral to go to. And all of a sudden, Easter Sunday is way past. Way past. And last Sunday when you were singing, celebrate Jesus, celebrate, and some of you were even dancing last Sunday, you've forgotten that. You've forgotten it. Because you got squeezed this week. You've got squeezed. P- Peter failed. And you and I fail. So Jesus, after the resurrection, says, I've got to address this matter of failure. I've got to address the matter of Peter's failure. I'm going to meet the disciples, but I'm going to talk to Peter. I'm going to talk to him because Peter needs to be talked to. Not in a spanking way, but Peter needs to be talked to. Peter needs to be lifted up. Peter, the failure, needs to look me in the eye, and I need to look him in the eye, and he needs to know I love him. And he needs to know his mission isn't done because he failed. He needs to know that to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that great commission is still the great commission. Even though he failed, it still is. Oh, the place of Peter's failure was that he was kept company with servants and schemers when he should have been with the other disciples. His path was wrong. All kinds of stuff happened. And then he experienced the pain of that failure. And you know what? That's what happens when we fail in our walk with God. There's a pain that comes over us. A pain and a shame. And with that pain and shame, we find no peace with God anymore. You say, you know, I'm not at peace with him. Things are not all right with Jesus anymore. I feel the pain of that, the pain of not being at peace with someone. And that's a terrible thing. You know what it is in human experience. When you're not at peace with someone, there's a pain inside. There's a pain. And when we have that failure and the pain of no peace is also the pain of no presence. Of no presence. Last Sunday, we had a great Easter Sunday after we left here. We had 19 people at our house. And on that group of 19, people that I love, my family and friends, one of my cousins that I haven't spent time with for years, he and his wife were there. He was present. And when the day was over, I looked at Cheryl and I said, I'm so glad that cousin was here. It was so good to be with him again. You see, there's a pain when we're no longer present with someone. That's what makes death so hard, because you can no longer be in that person's presence. There's a pain when the presence is gone. And when we fail Jesus, there's no peace, there's no presence. And then the other thing that's missing is there's no power. Because you're no longer connected to him. There's no power in your life to live the life that he's offered you. That life of peace and joy. Because there's no power. And in all of that, Peter lost his fulfillment and he lost fellowship. It was a terrible thing, but I'm not going to end there today. I want to come to the end. So Peter does what he knows best. He says, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. That's not a bad thing to do anytime, really, but Peter was using it as an escape. He was using it as an escape. Let's go fishing. I don't know what else to do. I mean, what's Peter going to do? He's not going to say, let's go paint a house. He's not going to say, let's go build a shed. He's going to say, let's go fishing. That's all I know what to do. Let's go do it. And the boys said, we'll go with you. We'll go with you. They go out, they spend all night in the boat. No fish. And then there's someone on the shore that's not even a fisherman that says, you didn't get any fish, did you? Oh, smack. It's just smack. That's not what you want to hear. Come in after fishing all night. You get into the dock and there's some yahoo standing on the dock that's not even a fisherman in his golf uniform saying, oh, you didn't catch any fish, huh? Why don't you put your net on the other side? Oh, yeah, what do you know about it? But they did. And the net filled with fish. And then John says, but I knew who it was. And I said, it's Jesus. And Peter goes, John, you're right. And he grabs his coat, his cloak thing, and he wraps himself in and he jumps in the water. Jesus has already got a fire going. Bread and fish. And he invites him and he says, it's time for brunch, boys. And they eat. Isn't it nice that Jesus always lets you eat before he talks to you? Did you notice in the Lord's Supper? They ate first, and then he instituted the Lord's Supper. He always lets you fill your belly first. It's a good idea. So he let the boys fill up. And then he had the conversation with Peter. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. It's interesting because we could spend time and we don't have the time to talk about those two words because the words here make a difference. And if you've ever heard a sermon on this text, you know that already. That what Jesus is saying, did you agape me? Do you love me with that sacrificial giving love? And Peter responds, I filio you. I love you like a brother. I love you like a brother. And Jesus says again, do you agape me? I'm not asking you if you love me like your brother. I'm asking you, do you love me with that sacrificial godly love that I have for you? Do you agape me? And then he asks him the third time. And every time that Jesus asks him a question, every time he gives him a charge. You see, when you love someone, action is always assigned to it. And I want to say something gently but firmly to you today. Don't tell Jesus you love him if you're not willing to serve him. It doesn't work. You cannot love someone and not serve them. You cannot declare your love and not declare your service and your availability. Don't tell me, my dear friends, that you agape Jesus, but you refuse to serve. You can't do that. Every time that Jesus says, do you love me? He says, do this, do this, do this. Every time. Every time. So even though Peter failed, he had a future. And that's what I leave you with today. That even though maybe you have failed Jesus, even though maybe you have failed him in keeping the word you said you would keep, the good news of the resurrection is that Jesus restores you. Even though you failed, you still have a future. Every time I've failed, I wanted to quit. You got to know that. Every time. And some of my failures, I have just wanted to walk from what I do. Just wanted to walk. But couldn't. You see, today, if you've failed in your walk with Jesus, he's looking you in the eye today, and he's asking you again, well, but do you love me? Do you love me? If you do, then do this. He didn't say to Peter, you screwed up, so you've just lost your assignment. There's no place for you in the kingdom anymore. There's no place for you at the table anymore because you failed. He never said that. He invited Peter to the table, and then he commissioned him to serve, and that's what Jesus does for you. So I want to say this to you. If you have failed in your walk with Jesus, if you've fallen away, that shoreline that I was at 8 weeks ago, and I stood at that shoreline, I had tears in my eyes as I was picking up rocks and taking some photos. I took photos of the water. as I was on that shoreline, I was so grateful that this failure still has a future. And I say to you this morning, for all of you who are failures, you've got a future, because Jesus met the disciples on that shoreline and he restored Peter. He restored Peter. And he recommissioned him. And he'll do the same for you. That's good news. That's good news. Would you stand for the benediction? I'm done. God's not done with you, but I am today. I invite you to come today at 2 o'clock and join with the Matten family as they honor Dave's dad and as we worship God who promises eternal life. And now, my brothers and sisters, my fellow failures, my fellow losers, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the all-knowing Father and the all-loving Son and the all-empowering Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.